This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, financial writer for Oanda, Christian Norman. And in the United States, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon. Great to be here.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, Christian.
Now, Nick, last time we spoke was, of course, on Friday in the aftermath of, not much, because, of course, we didn't get the non-farm payroll numbers because of the US shutdown. And we're still getting the repercussions of that. Off air, we were just saying that it's very unlikely we're going to get a jobs report this week, even though it was a possibility. And, of course, there's no CPI to come.
That's right, Johnny. I mean, if we continue to see the government shutdown happen, there's a couple things that come out of that. You mentioned it already, we're going to be missing some data and potentially just not going to be getting a non-farm payroll for the month of September. So that puts the Fed in an interesting position because, as you mentioned, if we go into next week where we also don't get a consumer price index reading, for example, which by the way things are going, it doesn't seem like there is any sort of urgency to end this shutdown period. There's some ramifications for the Fed, specifically in the idea that if the Fed does not have data in front of it to make decisions, what then will it do? Because you still have these Fed meetings that are planned where interest rate decisions and monetary policy guidance is essentially expected to come out. We get actually later today at the time of recording this, we're filming it earlier in the day, but we get the meeting minutes from the Fed. So that could be interesting, but again, the Fed is sort of operating in the blind in the sense that it doesn't have its usual tools to make the decision as to whether or not to cut, hold, or hike interest rates, right? So if we're looking at a market where the Fed doesn't have that in front of them, all we can kind of do is go based on the latest figures that we had, the trajectory of things. But there is risk in that because trajectory can change. If we had, for example, seen a much worse jobs print last week on the NFP report, would that potentially spike probabilities for more rate cuts by the end of the year or going into next year? Those sort of things are very important to markets and to the Federal Reserve. Of course, if we also go into a Fed meeting without inflation readings, which are sort of the other side of this equation, right? The Fed's balancing jobs and they're also looking at inflation. If they're in the blind on both, what do they do by default? Well, I think the consensus that I've seen on the internet mostly is they're going to cut interest rates in line with the trajectory or dot plot projections most likely that they had when they did have data. It's a weird phenomenon to just kind of see the Fed go into this direction where they don't have data, and likely what we'll hear from Powell in terms of the meeting minutes, or I should say the Fed committee in the meeting minutes, is likely to be in this environment. We sort of just go off what we have and the trajectory that we had based on the historical data that is present. So a little bit tricky, and there is some risk in that because again, if something drastically changes underneath the surface and we're flying in the blind, there could be trouble in regards to that. I interestingly think that this may also have a little bit of something to do with the strength in precious metals, which we'll talk about in a second. And I also think the dollar strength that we're sort of seeing in response to this is also in tandem with the weakness that we're seeing out of Japan or the Japanese currency. The Japanese stock market's on a tear to the upside recently, but Japanese currency dropping strong on what was reported on the podcast by Kelvin earlier in the week, this idea that, again, the prime minister, the dovish prime minister change is definitely a little bit of a game changer for, you know, it's kind of been in the books like, you know, Bank of Japan's going to hike rates. Well, things get a little challenged when you have somebody who may have a different agenda.
It's certainly an interesting time. And we've certainly seen some curveballs that perhaps we didn't really expect in Q4 of this year. The government shutdown, of course, creating a lot of complications for the Fed, as Nick so excellently mentioned. And without that data, it's very hard to see what the Fed will do, especially considering their commitment to the data throughout the whole of 2025. That's how they have rationalized many of their decisions. And what do you do when that data is not available? Well, we might just have to wait and see. Historically, you look at government shutdowns in the US, the last one, since this one happening 6 years ago, almost. And that was under Donald Trump as well. And that went on for a lot longer than the week we've had so far. So we'll see how long this can continue. But again, with the Fed committing to data for March 2025, it's interesting to see what they will do without that data, without that that support they've had from data readings and how data has reacted to policy previously. And speaking on trajectories as well, especially with labor data, for those of you who have a good memory, you remember in September, NFP numbers were not left in a very good way. And obviously seeing not much else since to rectify that, I think the Fed will be worried as to not repeat that again. So we'll have to wait and see.
Indeed. And Nick, you alluded to it earlier. Gold has gone up and up and up, surpassing $4,000 for the first time. Christian, is that because of the ongoing fears of a kind of runaway government spending that could push up inflation?
I think the sovereign debt question is one of the biggest catalysts behind the recent rally in gold prices. And it's something that we've seen historically. Whenever there's a question around sovereign debt globally, you look back at the euro area crisis historically, precious metals react in the way that they have done this year as well. But for me, what's compounded this recently and given a new lease of life to the rally is this more dovish tilt from the Fed, which of course, owing to complications with the government shutdown, has given that lease of life to the current rally. Gold prices have been on the rise for a long time in 2025, as has silver. And recent price action has been remarkable. But I will say, the recent lease of life questions and also some undermining in confidence of US government owing to this government shutdown is really helping push gold prices even higher and higher. And now we're trading from almost at $4,000. It was only 6 months ago, we were looking at $3,000 for the first time. So the astronomic rally in gold pricing and silver pricing this year has to be respected. And it can't be ignored that this cocktail of macroeconomic themes all contributing.
Yeah, and just to tag along with what Christian is saying, gold and silver making these types of moves. One thing to mention about this is, I find it really interesting just this kind of divergence we're seeing, because stocks themselves have been on an incredible rally as well in 2025 from those April lows. We've had a really good year, all said and done, which to many was a shocker. You had a very sharp V-shaped recovery that has followed through to the upside. And it actually, for those who were watching markets at the time, it feels a lot like COVID, the sort of the trajectory where you had this sharp one directional move lower and then a V-shaped move that followed through. And what I find interesting in relation to precious metals making this move is that a couple times in history have we had moves like this. It's not very frequent that you get gold prices, as Christian mentioned, doubling so quickly from 2,000 to 4,000 in 2000. I'm seeing it as recent as March 2024. I mean, like a year and some change later, we're doubling the price of gold. That has historically not happened in good times. That usually happens when people are really worried about things. Like, for example, when the U.S. came off the gold standard, that was an environment where gold made that kind of move. We also saw that during the 2008 Great Financial Crisis, gold made that kind of move in that similar area. So, it does ask the question, when gold makes a move like this, is there something more sinister, more concerning happening under the surface? Which again makes it feel strange when you also see such enthusiasm for risk assets, crypto at its highs, stocks at its highs. We are seeing sort of an everything rally taking place, and not just in US stocks. I know we talk about, of course, US stocks a lot, but international stocks, many places have actually strongly outperformed the US stock market this year. So you really do have participation in many different assets, commodities, stocks, financial, markets abroad. It's a really interesting time just to see gold also be making this move in relation or in the same period.
And before I let you both go, guys, tonight we're going to get the minutes from the US Fed.
We're looking at a very sparse economic calendar at the moment for reasons we've discussed. So the minutes this evening will provide us with a little bit more excitement than what we're used to in recent days. Of course, as ever, we're looking for rationale and some clues going forward through monetary policy. And actually, it'd be really interesting to see how things are expanded on risk management comments, which led to some short-term downside after the last decision. Of course, we all know that he mentioned that the last cut was almost risk management, or as it was marketed. And we'll see whether he doubles down on those comments in the 4 minutes this evening. But so that is definitely one to look forward to, especially considering, as I say, we've had very little to get excited about because of the government shutdown and the lack of economic data out of the US.
I think the biggest thing too, just to add in terms of what to look for in the meeting minutes, is to see if, when given the lack of data, what does the Fed default to focusing on more? Are they going to, and I think the answer is likely job statistics being weak before this. We also did get an ADP number, which was really lackluster. So I think by default, Fed will probably hint at more dovishness. The stock market certainly is trading in that way. We again see stocks near their highs. But interestingly as well, as we've had a resurgence in dollar strength here recently, partly, as I mentioned, potentially other currencies weaker than dollar, not necessarily dollar with huge, you know, downward economic data. I think that is worth mentioning with the dollar index. I think it's strength relative to weakness in other places.
Nick, Christian, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.